Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar, moving on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It is good to be back. It is good to be back for what I feel like today is scheduled to be 4 full hours of me with, of course, we should even just probably change the name of the show to Mark Howard and Company, because Mark Howard has been holding it down. He is with us today. Mark, I am so glad to hear your voice for the second time in 3 days. It just brings a smile to my face. How are you on this Fireball Hot Take Friday?
I'm doing fine. I can't wait to hear you air your grievances, and they are many. So I can't wait for this.
Mark, I like to think of myself as a man of the people sometimes. And sometimes it's for the little guy out there. The little guy out there who sat in section 213 at the Titans games. Actually, I think I sit in section 214, but whatever. 214 at the Titans games. You know, from the age of fourth grade on, that little man who sat there and watched his team and the failures and just wanted someone to speak up for his voice. And I think I speak for the common man on this show. I didn't play the game. I didn't coach the game. I didn't GM the game. I didn't try to play the game. I didn't try to coach the game. I don't try to think that I know things that the average person can't know. I'm not one of these people that's like, hey, I went to medical school for 8 years, so I'm Dr. Jared Stillman, and you are not. And not only that, I feel like the little man sometimes in a market like this needs somebody to step up for a mark, and they need somebody to trade shares of game stock on their behalf for the little man. And that's what I'm doing today. When Mike Vrabel unilaterally decided, now I'm guessing everything he does is unilaterally for the most part, but unilaterally decides, Vrabel says, we are staying with the status quo on defense. Shane Bowen has been elevated to defensive coordinator. Now we'll get to Todd Downing, the new offensive coordinator, also elevated in a second. But Bowen is the big one. First of all, let me state for the record, this is not included in anything. I think Aukerman, the special teams coach, I think he should be gone. So that's the one that drives me the most insane. But Shane Bowen, essentially promoted to defensive coordinator last year. They fell from 21st to 28th, 12th to 24th in scoring. And yet Mike Vrabel says, nothing to see here. Technically promoted the guy today. And I think that that is foolish. And yet, I am not surprised whatsoever that Mike Vrabel did this, because if you had listened to anything he said during the year, Mark Howard, it was, it ain't the coaching, it ain't me, it ain't Shane, it ain't the coaching. And I don't know if Vrabel's taken shot, if this decision is a reflection in him putting the blame on last year on John Robinson. I don't know if it's him putting the blame on COVID, which a lot of people conveniently do. I do not, but a lot of people do. Or he's just saying, hey, the players, blame the players. But clearly, Mr. Mike Vrabel, Mr. Put It All On Me all the time, like he always says, Mr. Best Interest of the Team, I still think Vrabel's a good coach. To me, he is too stubborn. His desire to be right is clouding his judgment as for what is in the best interest of the Titans. And I fully expect the defense to suck next year, just like they sucked this year, because when it comes to who's running that defense, he doesn't have a clue. He doesn't have a clue. He thought last year, clearly he thought the coaching last year on the 2020 Tennessee Titans was good enough. And this is the hand you will be dealt now for 2021. Mark, your thoughts.
That is a terrific overreaction. First of all, it's not Shane Bowen's fault that the two pass rushers they signed just delivered nothing. And I think in the NFL, Vrabel believes, like many, that what makes a good coordinator are good players. And Bowen needs a better cast around him. It just didn't happen last year. With Beasley and with Jadeveon Clowney. By the way, the gas man is here, so all our dogs are barking. So, but But anyway, I think that's the feeling with Bowen, that they've just got to get better players around him. Now, schematically, you know, we can sit here and debate, were they doing the right things last year? Obviously, they went 11-5, but they did it in spite of the worst pass rush, perhaps, or one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL. But I'm not totally sold on Shane Bowen's ineptitude off of last year. I want another year to see him. I want to put better players around him. And what's in vogue now, Jared, around the NFL, is growing your own coordinators. If you look around at these teams, really for the most part, most of the top coordinators are the ones who have been homegrown. So, there are guys, you know, who rotate around. Steve Spagnuolo in Kansas City, obviously, has been a few places before he came back to Andy Reid. But by and large, you're seeing the young homegrown coordinator, and this is more Belichickian than it is anything else.
So I guess I would say that I'm not giving Bowen the benefit of the doubt. I'm not giving Vrabel and Bowen, and they're together in this, obviously. I'm not giving the one shred of benefit of the doubt that I was going to be willing to give them was Jim Schwartz. Because when Jim Schwartz was defensive coordinator, when he was elevated after Greg Williams took the Bills job in 2001, Schwartz was awful. The defense was awful in 2001. I mean, embarrassingly bad. And Schwartz came back to
the next
year.
They had a ton of injuries that year in their secondary. They were decimated. So I don't know of any coordinator that could have done a decent job that year.
Yeah, I mean, they had Deron Jenkins at corner, and he couldn't even stick on the Nashville Cats. So I understand that. But then the next year, the defense got back to being the defense, and Jim Schwartz is obviously a pretty good defensive coordinator. And so there's a thought that's like, well, could this be like Jim Schwartz? The one reason I cannot give Bowen the benefit of the doubt, cannot give it to him, is because at no point in the season did it feel like the Titans' defense got any better at all. So if the players aren't as good as you think they are, then you make adjustments. And I don't feel like Bowen made any adjustments, or Vrabel, or whoever's in charge of the defense, and it's clearly now Bowen. I don't think that they made any adjustments. And as far as Clowney and Beasley are concerned, I blame Clowney on Vrabel. I don't think Robinson wanted Clowney that badly, but I think Vrabel kept going to Robinson saying, hey, trust me, we need Clowney. He's our guy. We need him. And they ended up signing Clowney. And Clowney and Beasley played outside linebacker, Shane Bowen's position. So, yeah, they got nothing out of those guys. But is it not the – when both guys signed, with the exception of me on the 12 million for Clowney, it wasn't like there was this mass outrage of how dare you give Vic Beasley $9.5 million. Some people were like, there's a lot of question marks around Vic Beasley. But no one sat there and said, man, what a just an awful, awful, awful signing. And yes, it was. And I'm not saying that Beasley wasn't Beasley's problem. But Bowen's the outside linebackers coach. The outside linebackers on the Tennessee Titans stink. The defense stunk. It was all terrible. And again, I would agree that if you gave him Deion Sanders at corner and you gave him Lawrence Taylor at pass rusher, that they would have had a better defense. But at the same time, is there any feeling that they're really going to improve the overall personnel of the defense this offseason? Maybe they add a player here or there, but I don't think it's going to be that different from what we were looking at the end of the year. And so I am just...
Oh, I disagree with you.
I think
they're going to fortify that pass rush
with like one draft pick or one free agent signing.
I think, Jared, there are going to be some players out there. I think because of the cap situation, a lot of good players are going to be available because teams just can't afford them. And the Titans are going to be a team that are going to have to make a couple of painful cuts. They're probably going to have to cut Kenny Vaccaro. They're probably going to have to cut Malcolm Butler. They're going to have to cut some guys they really don't want. But to offset that, I think they know that they have got to upgrade in terms of their pass rush. Otherwise, they're not going to get away with 11-5 this time around.
So now if you cut Malcolm Butler, you cut your best corner from last year. And that's another reason to say, what's Shane Bowen supposed to do? He's got no corners. He's got, you know, they brought in this guy at pass rusher. It obviously didn't work out. And don't blame Bowen. Not his fault. I mean, that's, to me, and Bowen, I hate to make this about Bowen because it is about him, but it's also not. It's really about Vrabel, in my opinion. My anger about this is about Vrabel. And again, I like Vrabel. I think Vrabel's a good coach. But I think this is total stubbornness on the part of Mike Vrabel. And he kind of backed himself into a corner when he announced after the season that Bowen was the one in charge of the defense. Because at this point, not naming him defensive coordinator would have been the same as firing or demoting him publicly. And while that's what I would have preferred, Vrabel is stubborn. We all know that. We see Vrabel do dumb things and then come to the podium after the game and try to defend why he went for it on fourth down, down by 17 in the fourth quarter when he could have kicked a field goal in a three-possession game. We've seen Vrabel get to the podium and try to explain why he went for two when nobody in the world would have done that against the Chargers out in London. We've seen Vrabel try to defend why he punted in the playoffs, things that most people wouldn't do. But that's just who he is, and he's doing the same thing here. And I just wish the one thing that Mike Vrabel was a little bit better at was maybe a little less I'm right all the time and everybody's wrong, because that's what the defense and the Shane Bowen thing, that's what it is materialized for me.
It is hard to disagree with you. Yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, Vrabel is. He's been incredibly stubborn about this. He's been incredibly stubborn about bringing in, outsiders to add to the defensive staff. And you're right. I mean, he's sort of putting himself on the line with the Shane Bowen hire. Todd Downing, I think you can justify, because he at least has a pretty good resume as a position coach. Downing, coach quarterbacks at Detroit, at Buffalo, and at Oakland. And in every case, his quarterbacks had great seasons. He coached tight ends for the Vikings and Titans. He's developed players. Players have improved under him. But you make a pretty compelling argument about Bowen, and you're right. Bowen does need to have better players around him, and I don't know if that's going to totally be the case. You're right. They're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul. They're going to have to, if they cut Butler, if they cut Vaccaro and add to their pass rush, how good is their back end going to be? Well, we're not sure yet. What about, Fulton? And what about some of the other young players that they have? They might have to find out next year.
I'm depressed. We'll get to Todd Downing in a little bit, the new offensive coordinator. Jason Fitz is coming on from ESPN later today. Fitz, obviously, diehard Raider fan. Downing was the OC for the Raiders in 2017. That purgatory year of the Raiders where they were a playoff team and Carr was an MVP candidate. And then the next year was the Gruden era. And so he was the OC under Del Rio with the Raiders. And Fitz is coming on. Fitz texted me today and was like, I just hope you know I'm not going to be positive about this hire. And I was like, Fitz, this show is not that kind of show. So whatever you want to say, you know you can say. But I guess he doesn't seem excited about Downing. I have some thoughts on Downing I want to get to, but I am depressed. I am depressed about the Shane Bowen news. Not that I didn't expect it. I did. Not that I'm surprised. I'm not. Not that Mike Vrabel being stubborn and a man who has built his whole philosophy on doing what's in the best interest of the team, once again turning his nose up to the idea that maybe, just maybe, his decision-making is the problem. It's all so depressing. It is so depressing. And with that, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So let's take your calls and let's lighten the mood up a little bit. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Here's a question for the callers. Here's a question for the texters. Here's a question for everybody. We're going to start on Bowen. How much do you hate this? How much do you think it might work out? 615-737-1025. Mark Howard is here. Stillman & Company's live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. And, of course, we are streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Mike, in particular, in defensive coordination, do you regret that you didn't name or find a defensive coordinator? How much of a factor is that in all these struggles right now?
I would say that that's not a factor. I'm positive that that's not a factor. You know, we have to continue to coach better and play better, but I'm certain that's what leading to us giving up points and us not getting off the field on third down.
Why are you certain about that, Mike?
Because I'm sitting there and I watch everything that we do, and I watch the tape, I watch how we coach, and I watch how we practice, and I watch how we play, Joe.
Ooh, I watch how we play, Joe. Guess what? Joe was right. The fans were right. You were right. Mike Vrabel. And guess what? Vrabel still will not recognize how wrong he was today, naming Shane Bowen defensive coordinator. Mark Howard, as I told you on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, I am so depressed about the news of Shane Bowen staying on as defensive coordinator. When you listen to that clip, that was after the Bengals game when Joe Burrow lit the Titans up. And Joe Rexrode very graciously asked Mike Vrabel, you know, hey, why do you feel like you're so confident? And Mike gives him the, hey, I watch the tape. I watch practice. I see the performance. I know, Joe. I know. What do you think when you hear that? And then you know how the rest of the season plays out. And then you see Vrabel does elevate Shane Bowen to defensive coordinator. How can you possibly feel good about this, Mark?
It's hard. It's a tough sell. I mean, it is. And only with a guy, you know, who's gone to the AFC championship game and then the year after won the AFC South going 11-5, can he sell it to management? I would have been more fascinated, Jared, to see the interaction between Vrabel and John Robinson. If John Robinson is not asking his coach, listen, why don't we go outside for this? And Vrabel goes, no, I got it covered. You know, because to a certain degree, their fates are tied together. So I would have loved to have seen the back and forth on that. You know, and Downing would have been a lot easier sell. I am not going to judge a guy off 1 year. And that was kind of an extraordinary year. Now, the other thing, too, and this is something that a lot of GMs and head coaches and even team owners are assessing. And that is, this has been just a really strange year. Dealing with COVID-19, not really having an off season. But to a certain degree, Shane Bowen, you know, needs to be held responsible for the putrid defense that the Titans had. But then again, John Robinson needs to be held accountable for not helping his coaches and not finding a guy who could get to the quarterback. The fact that they had two street free agents that had more sacks than their $22 million investment collectively, and I'm talking about Clowney and Beasley, is just horrible. So to me,
do you not blame Clowney on Vrabel? I blame Vrabel.
No, I don't totally blame Clowney on Vrabel because Robinson, you know, Robinson has to okay that. Listen, we can sit here with the ability of hindsight, but most of us wanted Clowney. Most of us felt like that was the best option. Might not have been a perfect option, but I don't think any of us would have thought that Clowney would come in here and not have a sack. I'm sorry. That's too much of a second guess. So,
this show, we tried, we begged Mark. Now again, zero sacks, probably
you
not.
You didn't have any other options.
But we begged on this show, do not do it. We begged, don't do it. Even Floyd, and I would say that that was probably the biggest condemnation of anything that John Robinson did as general manager of the Titans when Floyd was here was when he said on the Clowney deal, I wouldn't have done it, but I understand why they did. I was like, uh-oh. I want to hit your first part, though, Mark, you just brought up, which was Robinson. Because, you know, Vrabel goes to Robinson and says, I want to keep Shane as defensive coordinator. Does Robinson have to sign off on that? Is that, you know, where is Robinson culpable in this? Or is this turning into a, it's not my fault, John, it's your fault? Because Vrabel can say whatever he wants to say about we're all in this together, everybody's working together, whatever. But by keeping the status quo on the entire coaching staff, that is a message that says coaching is not the problem. And that does directly put it, at least publicly for me, that Vrabel's problems with the team last year sat at the desk of John Robinson and not at the desk of his own. And I don't know how Robinson's going to take to that, because I'm sure Robinson thinks he had a bad offseason too, but I'm sure Robinson wished that they had done some better coaching of that defense.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, I can sit here and say, okay, that one's, even if that one's on Vrabel, how about a draft class that did next to nothing? Who is that on? That's on John. And I like John. I respect John. I think he's a really good general manager. But it just goes to show you, that draft class brought little to nothing.
No. I'm not arguing Vrabel, that John Robinson is not worth blaming. I'm just saying that as far as, like, the Vrabel and Robinson dynamic, for Vrabel to bring back his entire coaching staff, it feels like he's pointing a finger at Robinson. Now, he might be right, but it feels that way.
I don't see that at all. And maybe I'm being totally naive to the process. And then you start getting Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher and that little tussle, you know, which nobody wanted to take the blame. See Pac-Man Jones. But anyway, it's pretty – I don't want to say it's easy to assume, but I think we can assume that when they talked about Clowney, Robinson evaluated him as the scout that he is, and Vrabel probably vouched for him. And it just didn't work out. I mean, it happens sometimes. It's really amazing that they overcame that and still went 11-5. I don't think that this organization is lacking in accountability. I'm sure that when they've met at certain points, Robinson says, listen, this draft is on me. And I'm sure Vrabel, to a certain extent with Clowney, says, you know, that's on me. But I'm sure he's also saying if Clowney, you know, played the entire season, maybe the narrative would be different. So, you know, there are a lot of things here at work that didn't go right for them. I think this all comes back, though, to Vrabel's stubbornness about bringing coaches in from the outside. He just hasn't done it a lot. He did it with Jim Haslett, and most people would say that was a pretty ineffective hire. So, you know, as far as not bringing a coordinator in, he is certainly leaving himself open for criticism.
615-737-1025 is our phone number on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. We'll start on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter says, mistake by Vrabel, keeping the status quo from last year. Players such as Byard, Landry, and Evans clearly regressed and are now average players at best. Who has this current staff developed on defense? Please give me an answer. I can go with two guys. There were two guys this year that I thought played pretty well on defense for what I expected of them. One is Imani Hooker. The other is David Long Jr. Now, those two guys are not going to get you past the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think it would be unfair to say that everybody on the defense regressed. Everybody on the defense stunk. I thought Hooker had a good year. I thought that David Long Jr. had a good year. I thought that Simmons early on had an okay year. And I thought Malcolm Butler had an okay year. But yes. It was when you look at Byard and Landry specifically and Evans, it's bad.
They didn't have good years, but I'm not getting rid of them either. I'm not giving up on them. You know, Byard, it's easy to understand Why he didn't have a good year. He had a terrible pass rush in front of him. And I think you could make the accusation that he really tried to do too much. And when you've got to hold your coverages, even that extra second or so in the NFL, you know, that's the difference between success and abject failure. So Harold Landry, we found out, is more of a complementary piece. He's not a primary pass rusher. You know, he's not going to be the guy that teams are going to scheme against. But put a good pass rusher with him, and then it would be interesting to see how much more effective he'd be. Rashawn Evans, I can't explain. I thought Rashawn Evans by now would be in the Pro Bowl. And I'm really not sure, you know, why that's not working. But he's had enough moments of brilliance. He's had enough, where we've seen his upside that, again, this is a guy that I don't think is worth getting rid of.
Just awful. Just awful. I'm just depressed. I'm glad to be back on the air. I'm just so depressed today about the Shane Bowen news. And I should really be most depressed about Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach, keeping his job for the umpteenth season for them to not get a good punt return or them not get a good kick return or them not really do anything worth anything on special teams, blowing games this year. But I'm not. It's Shane Bowen. It's Vrabel's inability to admit mistake that I think is what really truly depresses me the most about this. Bowen is a symptom, in my opinion, not a cause. And that's where I'm just so sad today. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are delivered by TriStar Moving. Speaking of TriStar Moving, I love these guys. Everybody hates moving, especially me. And you will hate moving too. Well, not if you use TriStar Moving. You will love them. They're my guys. I've had people reach out to me, say, Jared, is TriStar Moving, are they for real? Yes, they are. That's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. Everything at my old home was taken care of, brought right over safely and well put in at the new home. You're going to love them. They even offer a storage service in case you need a safe place for all your things. It's brand new, state of the art. If you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call today, 615-640-1219, or visit their website, nashvillemoving.org/radio. They will give you 5% off the entire move. It's so simple. TriStar Moving, nashvillemoving.org/radio, and tell them Jared Stillman sent you. My guys, TriStar Moving.
Possibility of a defensive coordinator, something you're considering, defensive coordinator in name for next year? And if so, you know, would that be someone more likely out of staff or on staff?
You know, John, I think what we have to do is we have to evaluate, you know, every position on our staff and as well as, on our roster. And so we'll do that and, you know, we'll make those decisions that we feel like are in the best interest of the football team. And, you know, that'll be one of them.
That was Vrabel. Mark Howard, when he said that the day after the loss to the Ravens, do you think that Mike Vrabel knew that Shane Bowen was going to be elevated to defensive coordinator?
It's a good question. He did talk to some people from outside the organization, apparently, or at least considered them. But maybe he thought, Bowen was his best option. The crazy thing is, and it still has not been explained sufficiently, is why this was kept so hush-hush. You know, why for most of the season did we not know that Bowen really was the defensive coordinator? Why didn't he just state that from the beginning of the season? I never really understood that. I don't think it really protected Bowen. I think if you have that much confidence in a guy to run your defense, just say who's running the defense. I mean, it was kind of crazy to me.
So I think he just did it because he wanted to be like Belichick. And not that it was like this, I want to be like Belichick and this is how Belichick does it. But he saw how Belichick did it, where he basically elevates somebody to defensive coordinator, doesn't give him the title. And then Vrabel said, that's what I'm going to do. So he did it and then was so stubborn throughout the course of the year of like, no, I'm not going to go ahead and do it. I've already said my piece. And then it took on a life of its own, which Mike was unprepared for. And then it kind of was like, okay, if I don't say that Shane's doing it, then people are going to – I don't know why he decided to give it to Bowen or to tell the world that it was Bowen's job the day after the miserable defensive season was over, unless he was preparing to fire him and thus could make him an easy scapegoat, which is really not Vrabel's MO. But that would make more sense than, no, I'm not going to tell anybody this whole time. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to, you know, keep it under the vest. And then after the season's over, say, yeah, that horrible defensive season, blame him because it's his job. Like, whoa. That seemed very un-Vrabel-like. But I think he just screwed that all up. And I think, again, it comes from that stubbornness that he has. It's the same stubbornness that makes him go for it at stupid times and not go for it in other smart times and all the things that drive you bananas if you like the Titans. And he's still a good coach, but it's that stubborn. He's got to be less stubborn. He's too stubborn. And I think it drives you bananas if you follow this team.
But it also works for him. And that's sort of who he is. And I guess we got to live with that if the team goes 10-6 or 11-5 and goes deep into the playoffs, we might have to accept the fact that it's an imperfect situation, that you wish he did, you know, certain things this way or that way, but it's a bottom line business. And his bottom line looked pretty good last year.
Texter says, why would Vrabel think that officially making him the defensive coordinator would work after what happened last year? Now we're talking about taking away players to add a couple of more players to hope that fixes everything. It looks like the Titans defense is a disaster waiting to happen. I agree. I don't see a way out for the defense unless they just draft a stud in the first round and a stud in the second round and they come in right away and they play. And that almost never, ever happens. But sometimes it does, but that's the only way out for the Titans defense that I foresee.
Well, they're certainly going to have to reshuffle the deck a little bit this offseason in terms of their personnel. They're going to have to let certain guys walk because they just can't afford them. I mean, I just don't see how Malcolm Butler stays on this team given the state of the salary cap. It has nothing to do with his play. It's just a financial reality and a matter of priorities. I would rather pay a pass rusher. I would rather pay a guy who can get to the quarterback because a good pass rush allows you, I guess, to play, you know, lesser talent in the secondary. It makes an average defensive back good or even better than good. So that pass rush cures a lot of ills.
You would get rid of Butler over Jackson?
Well, just because of Butler's contract. Adoree Jackson did nothing this year. You know, even when he came back, I kept waiting for him, you know, to sort of ramp it up. And I just never saw that. So, yeah, they're going to have to make a decision. I just think that they're going to cut Butler just because of, his price tag.
So I think that they cannot cut Butler. And I understand why it's of the money. I think you need Jackson to pass his physical, and then you need to release him of the $10 million of the fifth-year option. I mean, that's what Malcolm Butler was their best corner, and I don't even know if there's a corner that they could sign that would be anywhere near as good as Malcolm Butler. So now you're really digging yourself a hole, and that is that you have to hit on the pass rusher that you then want to pay that you get rid of Malcolm Butler for. I think it's so risky to get rid of Malcolm Butler might have been the best defensive player on the Titans this year.
But now they got to figure out, what are they going to do with Chris Jackson? You know, is he going to be ready to play regularly? And Christian Fulton, you know, is he ready for a larger role? That's what's going to have to happen this year, Jared. There are going to be certain luxuries you can't afford, and you're going to have to make some tough budgetary decisions because of a lesser salary cap.
Sure, but getting rid of my best corner to run Christian Fulton out there, that's not a risk I can take right now. I'd get rid of Byard before I'd get, and I know that they can't, But, I mean, I'm just telling you, I get rid of Byard before I get rid of my best corner. I have nothing I can hang my hat on except that, hey, Malcolm Butler had an okay year. I can't get rid of him. I cannot. If they get rid of him, you think I'm depressed today. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, I will. Oh. Paul texts into the text line, goes, Jared, I'm concerned about what it says for the entire organization by promoting Shane Bowen. You can't have the worst third down defense in the NFL and then promote the coach that you claim was running that defense. What does that say to everyone in the organization about the standard in which people are going to be held? I mean, I've been trying to figure that out about Aukerman, the special teams coach, for years. I've never understood it. The Titans can't return punts. They can't return kicks. They're not great at covering punts. They've got a great punter. That is the one thing I will give them. And yet they just seem to blow it on special teams like they did against the Colts, like they did against the Steelers, like they did against the Bengals, like they tried to against the Broncos. They never get any positives out of special teams, and they just keep running Aukerman out there. So I've wondered that for years. The thing that used to bother me as a fan was in the Mike Munchak years was I always felt like everybody screwed up everything and nobody ever got punished for it. And with Vrabel and his coaching staff, this seems to be another one of those things where, hey, don't blame the coach. Not the coach's fault that it's the worst third down defense in the league. Not the coach's fault that it's 28th. Not the coach's fault that they couldn't stop anybody in the red zone. So I'm with the texter. I don't know what it says about the organization when you promote somebody who stunk so bad. What bothers me about
hard coaching, to argue.
What bothers me so much about coaching is that if you talk to every coach who's ever coached, and I know you've talked to a lot of coaches who have coached, it is this overwhelming, this overriding sense all the time that is, if my players don't play well, I'm getting fired. You can tell that you talk to any coach on like a Tuesday afternoon in September, and you're like, yeah, and the coach will tell you, hey, if the players don't play well, I'm getting fired. And then when it comes time to actually fire that coach for the lack of performance, then it's like, well, hold on. That's not Bobby's fault. Think about what Bobby had to deal with this year. Or it's not my fault. My two pass rushers were awful. And then it's like, not my fault. And I'm like, ugh. Like, either it's always your fault or it's never your fault. And to me, there's a little in between. Like, if the entire defense got hurt, you can't put that on Bowen. But they didn't. And so, I don't know. I think Vrabel thinks that he's smarter than everybody else, so this is going to work in the long run. And guess what? Maybe he's right. I don't think he is, but maybe he is. The Houston Texans today said that they don't plan to trade Deshaun Watson. Maybe they're right. My gut tells me they're not. 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your texts and your calls on this. 615-737-1025. What about the offensive guy? We have not even touched on him yet. So we will do that next. Stillman and Company right here, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Mark Cowards here. It's ESPN 1025 the game.
What are your thoughts on in terms of trying to continue what you've accomplished with the familiarity of the offense already?
Arthur's still our offensive coordinator, so when he no longer is, then we'll look to replace him.
And now they have, by promoting the tight ends coach, Todd Downing, today. That move was also made with the Shane Bowen move. And Mark Howard, we spent most of this first hour on Shane Bowen, and I still can't get over it. But what do we make of Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator? He was the offensive coordinator with the Raiders in 2017. Fitz is coming on later today. Fitz, a diehard Raiders fan, absolutely cannot stand Todd Downing. So that's what I'm working off of right now. But as I'm reading through his bio, Downing has 20 years of NFL coaching experience, 1 year with the Raiders in 2017 as a coordinator, before joining the Titans, tight ends coach for the Vikings, 3 years with the Raiders as a quarterbacks coach, then OC, and he worked with Derek Carr. He had stops at Buffalo, Detroit, St. Louis, and was originally with the Vikings. So what do you make of the Todd Downing decision, Mark Howard? Are you, like me, completely indifferent on it, or do you have like a big feeling about the Todd Downing hire?
Well, I'm not as down on this as Shane Bowen. First of all, I think I can understand why they went internally, you know, for this hire. You know, first of all, you know, Ryan Tannehill at least, you know, has a relationship and knows Downing. And you look at his resume. Yeah, listen, the year with the Raiders, I'm just not going to judge a guy off 1 year as a coordinator. You know, that was a year in which Jack Del Rio got fired. So it just wasn't going to be good. But you look at him as a teacher, you look at his track record. And like I said, he's been in Detroit, he's been in Buffalo, he's been in Oakland as a quarterback's coach. And all those quarterbacks had good seasons under him. And as a tight ends coach, I just know here with the Titans, he has brought along Jonnu Smith. He's developed Anthony Firkser. And you look at this past year, you know, where I don't think he had a whole lot to work with. And I thought he did a pretty good job. So I'm not down on Downing, as they say. And I'm telling you, you know, especially with these offensive coordinators, they come in different shapes and forms. They really do. And you see teams, you know, at times getting a little too quick on the trigger to fire them. Like, look at the Eagles, you know, and obviously, you know, Frank Reich just moved on to become a head coach. But Frank Reich leaving Philadelphia had a pretty dramatic effect on their quarterback situation, I'd say. So at least in this case, they decided to hire internally. A lot of teams are doing that. They really are. And so, you know, we'll see.
So my thing on Downing is I have no idea how to feel. I'm with you. I'm not going to judge him off of his 1 year in Oakland, just like I didn't judge Mike Mularkey off of that 1 year in Jacksonville as a head coach. I'm not judging Todd Downing off of 1 year as a coordinator in Oakland, where Derek Carr was coming off of an injury and the team was in negotiations to move somewhere else. Like, all of that to me is that's too much. So I you know, fine. Downing, I'm fine with. But does it not seem like Vrabel doesn't want to go outside of the organization? Like, he clearly wants to go out of his way to not promote or to not hire from outside the organization. Why? Why is he the only coach in America who doesn't need to hire outside of his organization?
Well, that would make him a lot like Mike Munchak and Mike Mularkey, you know, who wanted, you know, to promote from within. And it didn't necessarily work. I don't think that's always healthy. I think it's healthy at times to bring in new ideas. I understand you don't want to change every year, but bringing people in from the outside, I think sometimes has a healthy effect on your organization. You know, bring somebody in who's not afraid to debate you, not afraid, you know, to feel strongly about an idea. I mean, those are the kind of people you want around you. You don't want yes men.
So do you think Vrabel is afraid of that, bringing that in on his staff? I mean, and I don't mean that in like a mean way. I mean, I think Vrabel's really stubborn, but I don't think that he is so opposed to having differing viewpoints. But he just does not hire from where he hires, like at the lowest level of the coaching staff, somebody from outside the organization, like a positional coach, and then maybe he'll promote that guy. But he will not hire a coordinator from outside the organization. I could be wrong, and obviously I've been off the grid a lot this week, but I think they only interviewed two other people for those jobs. They interviewed Pep Hamilton for the offensive coordinator job, and they interviewed Terrell Austin for the defensive coordinator job. Mark, do you have any idea as to why they picked those two guys outside of the organization to interview?
Well, Pep Hamilton has a pretty good track record. You know, Pep Hamilton, I thought, was an interesting name to bring in here. Pep Hamilton did a pretty good job in San Diego last year, I would say. And you look historically, you know, he's been a good coordinator.
But do you think that's why?
He was a head coach. What's that?
Do you think that's why they interviewed him?
No, I think that there are certain people that perhaps, you know, Vrabel found intriguing, or the JR found intriguing. I don't know. I don't know what the philosophy is in bringing people in. I don't know why Terrell Austin didn't fly with Vrabel. But, you know, I can't, you know, listen, I'm not saying that Vrabel's afraid to bring in, you know, people that, you know, might have a contrarian opinion. I just think when you keep too many of the same people, you know, from the same organization with you, I think it breeds that there's sort of, you sort of breed a groupthink, and sometimes you want different ideas. You know, that's all I'm saying. It's just a byproduct of sort of not cycling, you know, from outside and bringing people in. So that's my only concern about this. It might end up working.
So but I think the reason
in the long run that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, sure, and I agree with the point about bringing people from the outside. I think the reason that they interviewed those guys is for the Rooney Rule. Pep Hamilton, Terrell Austin checks the Rooney Rule box, and you now have to interview coordinators, minority coordinators, in order to make things A-OK through the Rooney Rule. And if that's the case, that tells you Vrabel absolutely had no plan at any point of going outside the organization. And it is somewhat a sign that the Titans are making a mockery of the Rooney Rule. And that, I mean, again, I understand the Rooney Rule. It's not as bad as when the Raiders interviewed T. Martin to be their head coach before they hired John Gruden, but it's bad. Josh texts into the text line and says, Jared, my opinion is that Mike promoted Shane Bowen for the simple fact that if things correspond in the same direction they did last year, that he himself would not be on the hot seat, and thus Shane would totally go right to the forefront. But the bigger picture here must be that the fans are going to want Vrabel on the hot seat if things don't get better. That comes from Josh. You buying or selling that?
I totally don't buy that. I don't think Mike Vrabel's worried at all about his job. I just don't. I just think he'll do what he thinks is right. If it works, fine. If it doesn't, he'll mosey on down the road. He does not strike me as a guy who's protecting his own turf. I don't see it. I don't agree with it. You know, we can sit here and say he's stubborn, but to me, not for that reason.
He just
won the division. I mean, they're going to start talking about he's on the hot seat.
I mean, wouldn't be the first coach in Nashville history to win a division and be on the hot seat 5 seconds later.
I just don't see that.
So yeah, I do have a comparison to that. I do have a comparison I want to make to that, and I will do that next. But I don't think I'm with you. I don't think Vrabel's trying to protect his job. That being said, I think the reason Vrabel's stubborn is because Vrabel is stubborn. I think Vrabel thinks that he knows best all the time. He's like your annoying friend who tells you how to do everything all the time and thinks they're always right, and they never are. Vrabel is occasionally right. He's about as right as he is wrong. Now, he's winning games, but is he winning games because of him, or sometimes is that slowing it up? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. That comparison, I think it is an important comparison I want to make next with Mark Howard on Fireball Hot Take Friday. Stelman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.